our next guest is one of Canada's most widely recognized actresses, perhaps best known for her portrayal of Black Shawl in the film Dances with Wolves. She received many awards for her acting achievements, as well as for her activism within the Aboriginal community. Tentu Cardinal was appointed a member of the Order of Canada in 2009 and holds honorary doctorates from four universities. She's making her Belfry debut in the role of Pelagia Patchnose, and please welcome Tentu Cardinal.
Thank you. Thank you.
What got you started as an actor, if you can think back many moons ago?
Well, I think it was being raised in a bush community. We had radio, no such thing as television or electricity or running water. And at the tail end of this vibrant culture and community where we're from the bush. And when people were storytellers, people told stories. There was none of this quick, you know, text kind of communication. When someone came over to visit, you bring out the tea and you hear what it is that's on their mind and on their heart today. It might take a while, it might take a few visits with some. I remember an old woman coming to visit her daughter. She was from Northwest Territories, and everybody in the community knew that she was there. She went and visited everywhere, and people came and visited her. And there was a big gathering at our house when she came over to visit, and people were honored. People were listened to, and it just fills your imagination. And also, there were multiple languages. There was Dene, which I did not understand a word of, but I was just fascinated with the clip of it and, you know, the responses back and forth. You know, it was just, I guess it was kind of like watching a foreign film with no subtitles. And so you kind of get a read on energy, you get a sense of what they're talking about, that the details are sparse. But it was also at a time when people were mum. People didn't talk about a lot of things. So Dene was a language that my grandmother went to when they were talking about things they didn't want me to learn. And so if I would ask her, what was she talking about? You know? So I was pretty much on my own. And then there was Cree, and she didn't really want me to be able to speak Cree, so I wasn't able to speak Cree, but because her English wasn't good, that was a language she used with me. So I learned from that world, from her speaking Cree, and then when I went to the city, then I met other Cree people that were coming to the city, and then I was able to start trying to speak it. And then we had English, and then we had patois, which was Cree and French mixed. And it was just really vibrant. And no place of entertainment. So you spend a lot of time in the bush with imaginary friends, and we played radio. And then we had some teachers who, you know, put on Christmas concerts, of course, and opportunities to go on stage. And at one point, there was an Air Force base that came, Stony Mountain Air Force Base, and there were families that came in, white families. And the women, the wives, got bored, so they put on little shows. They put on variety shows, they put on skits, they put on their own original material. So it was like, oh yeah, okay, we can put our stories on stage. They don't have to be just quietly in the living room. And, you know, kids were encouraged to dance or to sing or to whatever it was that they did. There were some places where that was really encouraged.
Did you know that the first time you were on stage? I mean, did you have an inkling that would be for you in the long term? Or
No, I did not. The old first I remember going on stage for the first time, it's almost like passing out. There's just so much energy. I thought I was going to pass out. Just pushed way through it. I didn't know that, but when I look back now, I can see the benchmarks. I can see, you know, odd things like Nanabush, where one of the people in our community was very bush, and rarely see him come out to the community. He was so shy that even at the store, even with people that he's known all his life, he was still really shy, you know, really, really shy. He didn't speak much. And then I remember he came over to our place one time, and he was kind of half cut. And he sat there, and he sang to me, "They're going to put me in the movies. They're going to make a big star out of me." Wow. Oh, my gosh. Everybody was just amazed. But, you know, when you get further away from it and you realize, oh, my gosh, Atul Lace came and sang at our house, and people laugh about it and everything. And probably the old people sort of felt something in it. I don't know.
Now, this is the first time you've acted in The Rez Sisters. Is that
yeah.
right? But I understand Thompson Highway actually had you in mind for one of the characters for the first
time. Yeah,
he
told me that last year. You know? He wrote Maria Dell for me. And there's a lot of Cree in there. Mm-hmm. But I was doing Linda Griffiths and Maria Campbell's play, Jessica, at the time. I was working on that. So, but I wasn't even asked, was I? I don't remember. I have to go find my notes.
So what did you think when the Belfry asked you?
I was excited because I worked with Peter in King Lear National Arts Center. And he's just so full. He's so refreshing. He's so incisive. He's so intuitive. He's so smart. He's so kind. he's just, I don't know, I think he's the greatest.
Now, can you tell us more about Pelagia Patchnose? Tell us a bit about your character.
Pelagia, she's the elder. She's the eldest. And she is in that place of recognizing that the stories and the language are gone. They're not living in her family. They're not living in her community. And she remembers when those stories lived inside of us. And she can see the fractures in what's going on, and having that faith that what we need to do is we need to remember Nanabush. We need to get that back. 'Cause there's been real assault on our spirituality, on our culture, on our language, anything that can identify us as a human being and give us strength as a human being, all that was stripped away intentionally. You know, some people like to say, well, they thought it was a better idea. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. They just wanted us dead. You know, so bad that the buffalo were slaughtered, you know, to kill us off. I hear some yucks up there. Do I hear an amen? No, it is rugged, rugged.
You told us earlier about Dene and then the Cree, which your mom wasn't too keen on you knowing. I mean, so how much of this could you relate to in your own? How much of Pelagia's struggle and this realization that the stories aren't carrying on? How much of that could you relate to from your own personal life?
Well, you know, I think for Pelagia, it's a place of empathy and it's a place of frustration at the same time. You know, there's a certain amount of forgiveness that has to go along with people kind of being, you know, putting their mind somewhere else and not really wanting to look at it. And I suppose that place of leadership, you have to have some kind of steel, some kind of determination, because there's so much force. There's so many elements that really don't want you to find your strength, don't want you to honor the land and honor the earth. And that's been so much of our struggle as Indigenous people, because it's a DNA-ic responsibility, because that's who we are. That's what we're born into. And you can try to strip the memory away, you can strip the tools away, but that impulse and that knowing is still there. And I think the only way to be healthy is to pay attention to that. And it's also, I'm just talking because I got a mic in front of me, but it's also a part of our responsibility as identified Indigenous people to carry that torch, because we are all a part of the earth. All of us. We're all born of the earth. We all are part of it. And so many of our cultures have had that ripped away. We've had for example, the Irish and the Druid were absolutely abolished, and trees were torn down. I mean, absolutely every effort. And look at in Canada right now, if we don't smarten up, the whole place is going to be destroyed. And our government sits there and denies that and continues to pretend that we don't have to pay that intense attention to climate change, that we're being airhead by suggesting that there's another way of building an economy, that there's another way of making a living on this land, that there are natural laws, and that's something that our people know. Our people have the blueprint, and this intention of people who came here did not allow that to happen, that there is a blueprint, that there are natural laws, and the Hopi prophecy just lays it all out, and that unless we build structures that are based on natural law, they're not going to be able to survive what the earth has to do to cleanse herself and to continue to live and get rid of the poison and get rid of the this virus.
There's a lot I could ask you, and not very much time. So I hope you don't mind if
yeah, I'm kind of long on the answers.
Completely different. Sisterhood. You know, it's in the title, the Rez Sisters. What for you does the Rez Sisters say about sisterhood?
You know what? Once you're family, you're stuck.
I've got three little boys, and one of them said that to me the other day, and I didn't expect to find any similarities in the Rez Sisters. Well, Tantu Cardinal, it's very nice to meet you. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes to talk to all of us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tantu Cardinal is playing Pelagia Patchnose in the Rez Sisters.